Go ahead and turn in your Bibles or pull out your Bible app, whatever's your preference, and turn to Proverbs chapters 8 and 9. Now you're like, crap, that's two chapters. I promise we're not reading the whole thing. We'll skip around, so just keep up with me. They'll be on the screen, and also they'll be in your outline as well as we go. So last week, actually, you gave us a really good start on what it means, what truth is. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. But just a really good start for us. But today, I wanted to kind of contextualize some things as we get into truth. In 2024, our children have grown up and navigated their education during a global pandemic. Any parents feeling that still? Regardless of your views of that political, scientific, and spiritual aspects of that, we can all agree that it has profoundly changed our world. It's definitely changed our church. There's a reason that high camera that we're online now. We have people that watch us online because of this, right? We live in a post-COVID world where a lot of people still don't want to come in here. And I'd love for them to come in here, which is why I keep the camera quality just fuzzy enough for you guys to come here to see in full HD. But the rise of social media has magnified a lot of these changes. A lot of you hate social media. A lot of you are on it way too much. But I'm not judging you for that today. That's not what we're here for. Just trying to tell you the reality of things. Right now, actually, TikTok has become the top platform, not just for social media, but for search queries. So when you go look for, like, you ask a question, right? What do you do? Like, you're watching TV and you're like, who's that actor? Like, what are they in? What do you open Google, right? This is very conversational today. So if you want to yell at me or something like that, please feel free. But you go to Google usually, but more and more people are opening TikTok and putting in their search queries on there. They're looking for their answers on how to change their oil or how to do this or that or the other. There's more unsolicited information on TikTok than there is really going on anywhere else. That's just reality of things. Gen Z, which, by the way, a lot of people like to say Gen Z is like the kids now. My kid, for those that know, I have a year and a half old, he is Generation Alpha. Gen Z is already in the workforce right now. Hi, some of you. They're already paying bills and doing their taxes too, so you can't just call them like young kids. They are also in your workplace. So Gen Z and the younger millennials, like me and my wife and I, a lot more people are finding their news sources not from CNN or Fox. Like a lot of people, they're going to TikTok again, and they're going to YouTube. YouTube is the fastest growing platform for news right now, more so than all of them combined. Podcasts have surged as influential sources, for better or for worse, because unfortunately, anybody can have a podcast these days. The joke is that it's always two white guys in a podcast because they just get on there and spout whatever opinions they have and put it out there, and people just kind of believe that is like a source of truth in their lives. But that's how people are. And all of this has been accelerated since 2007 with the iPhone. Anybody got one? Yeah? That's only accelerated, and it's only going to get faster because technology's getting faster, and they keep making iPhones, and we're in the double digits, and we're probably going to get to iPhone 20 here soon. God bless us all. We have seen the rise of people who have based truth on feeling, like we talked about last week, Pastor Ashley, over facts. And this has led to what many researchers call a post-truth world. And so I brought stats today. Y'all are going to love me. So I have a graphic today. So Barna put out this study just a few years ago. They asked the question, is moral truth absolute or relative? And so this is a mixture of believers and non-believers. Barna Group does a lot of studies on the intersection of faith and culture. And so when they asked this question, the question being, is it absolute, meaning is it known? Is this like a believable thing that like I can hold to a standard? Or is it relative to your life, or your feelings, or your personal experiences? And so, unfortunately, it didn't look too hot. Only 35% said that moral truth is absolute, that there's an actual standard to follow. 44% said that it is relative, and only 21% have never even thought about it. So there's people that are just like, I haven't really thought about it. I just didn't think it was pertinent to my life. So we see here that not only is there a growing population that think that truth is only just relative to their lives or how they feel or the way that they perceive things through actions done to them, right? Things that they go through, life experiences. And even more people that just don't care to think about it. They just think life is life, and that's how it is. So really, if you put those two numbers together, that's a big majority, right? That's over half of people really do not see truth as absolute. And I say all that because that's the world that we live in. I don't want us to come to this with our preconceived notion of life, our own feelings, our own life experiences, because some of us kind of might have grown up in a little bit of a bubble, right? I grew up in the Bible Belt. I'm from Alabama, if the accent doesn't throw you off a little bit. But one of those things, like a lot of people that I grew up with, grew up in kind of like a Christian bubble. It's the reason they call it the Bible Belt. I was right in the buckle. So a lot of people like think that life is a certain way, but this is actually like the reality of the world that we live in, and it just doesn't look great. And y'all are probably thinking, Noah, you just ruined my Sunday. I was going to go have hot dogs after this. But here's the thing. There's hope for that. And the great thing is this isn't a new thing that's happened in our world. While like things might be changing and new in our world, the idea of this isn't new. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in Proverbs. So I've divided up our time today in a three-act play because I'm dramatic like that. Act one, the voice of wisdom. Act two, the allure of folly. We'll get into that in a minute. And act three, choosing wisdom in a post-truth world. So let's start in act one, the beginning of the play. In the voice of wisdom, in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is introduced as a person figure, a woman. And a lot of chapter 8 is wisdom describing aspects of herself. So we're going to narrow in on a little bit of it here. Let's look at verses 22 and 23 of Proverbs chapter 8. It says, "The Lord possessed me," this is wisdom speaking, "at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth." So you can see here, wisdom comes from God, right? The Lord possessed me at the beginning. And so everybody's like, you know, has their own kind of ideas about how the universe started and stuff like that. But here's the thing. God's always been. God is, and God always will be. That's the Bible truth. All right? And guess what? So was wisdom. God, as an attribute of himself, since he was there, so is wisdom, has always been there. So that already kind of strikes some truth is relative things here, but we're going to get deeper into that. But it's really like one of these characteristics that are like his name in the Old Testament. He says, "My name will go before you," right? Or like he breathes his breath right into Adam. Those are actually all attributes of God. This is the Jews consider attributes of who God is, an extension of him. So wisdom is really an extension of God. So we're going to look at some characteristics of wisdom. So if you're following along, your first blank is wisdom calls. Wisdom calls. So at the top of Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men.'" So wisdom has always been here, right? And wisdom has always called out. Right? It says that she's on the heights. She's where she can be seen. At the gates, at the highest place in the town. These are all places where you can be seen. In the public space, wisdom is there. Right? For some of us, wisdom is here. It's in your face. But the real question is, are you listening? Because at the beginning of chapter 9, it says, it's not in the notes, don't freak out. Beginning of chapter 9, it says that she has sent out her young women to call the highest places in town. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here, right? So she's like set up a place to like call out to people. But here's the thing. There's other voices, right, calling out in the world. We just talked about those voices, all of these things that influence us in life. So I'm going to ask some questions throughout this, and these are ones you got to ask yourself, because if you answer them out loud, you might not like the answer that somebody else gives. So the real question is, are you listening? How loud are the voices around us that call out to us? And what voices are drowning out wisdom for you today? All right, now I got real serious. Y'all are just like this. I thought we were going to have more jokes, Noah. All right, your second characteristic here, we're going to look at wisdom offers guidance and discernment. Proverbs 8:14 says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. So I'm sure this is something that you probably knew, right? Like wisdom is a compass for us. Wisdom is like guardrails on our path, right? As we follow the path of life, hopefully, if you're following Jesus, wisdom is your guardrails for life, your boundaries that you set in place for you in today's culture. At least that's how it should be, right? That God has put wisdom in his word. We've talked a lot about that. We talk about a lot about this book here for some reason, you know. But the thing is, it's where we look for guidance and discernment, we're kind of like going everywhere, right? I was talking about, you know, people listen to like talk radio. My dad's a big talk radio guy. Anybody else? Talk radio, sports talk radio. I got you. It's okay. It's not a shame. Not a shame. I'm not trying to shame people in this room. But talk radio, right? Podcasts is just like modern talk radio. I'm just going to let you know. If you're not even sure what a podcast is, just think it's modern talk radio. YouTubers, social media influencers, I promise you, these are all people that like we listen to, whether for better or for worse, all these voices, and we're looking for them for discernment and for wisdom and things like that. I listen to a lot of guys that I think are pretty wise, but they're not God, right? Sometimes they fail. Sometimes they can't hold up to the standard that is God. I've read through the Bible many times in my lifetime. Anybody done like Bible through the year? Anybody? All right. I'm just making sure y'all are awake, so you can raise your hands. So if you don't raise your hand, you're either like, that's not your answer, or you're not awake. But I've read through the Bible a few times in my life, but here's the thing. I always, always, always find something new every time I read it. I can't tell you how many times I've read Proverbs 8 and 9. But the thing is, like, I was reading this preparing for today, and 20 new things just hopped out. And you'd think, no, after like over a decade of reading the Bible through and through, like this would just be old news. It's not old news, it's good news. Amen? So, and the thing is, we like to take the Bible, and this is a misconception with the Bible, and I wanna like kind of clear this up today, where we think the Bible is the answer book. Right? Like, anybody remember, like, the math book, and then in the back they had, like, the answers for all, like, the odd number of questions? Anybody with me, or am I just, okay, I'm making sure. Some of y'all are looking at me like, and it's probably my connect group. But I'm still old enough to know the odd answers are in the back of the book, and you just pray that, like, you can get the teacher's book. But it's the real thing is like we go to the Bible the same way. We hope the odd answers are in the back. We hope it answers all of our questions. But here's the thing, that's not what it's for. And even Proverbs, which is wisdom literature, that's like the genre of the book of Proverbs, isn't meant to be an answer book. In fact, in Jewish like scholarship, in Jewish society, when somebody was learning the Torah and learning like the whole scriptures, they were memorizing it, like they had to deal with all of these things, and they were thinking, this has got to be the answer for everything. And you know what happened when they decided that this was the answer for everything? They became Pharisees. And if you've read the Gospels, you know the Pharisees aren't exactly the good guys in the story of things. They were to help you ask better questions. Wisdom isn't about knowing all the answers. It's not what to think. It's how to think, right? It's how can I ask better questions? And you think, well, that tells me nothing, Noah, because now I have 1,000 more questions. That's good. Give those questions to God. And I love here at the end of 14, it says, I have insight, I have strength. Because here's the thing, we talked about this last week, when we're weak in our emotions and feelings, it's the strength we need. It's not physical strength, it's dependence, right? It's not about us gaining strength, it's about us depending more on God. Isaiah 55 verses 10 through 11 says, for just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout, and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. I love this. The truth of his word will never come back empty, or in some other translations that you might know, return void. It will never return void. It will never return meaningless. And it will always accomplish what God puts it out to do. Think about a gospel example, like the seed that Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower. In good ground, it will grow and increase and multiply and bear good fruit. And that's just from depending on the word that we know, because of that, can grow and flourish in our lives and allow us to not only see the wisdom that God has for us, but us to live in the wisdom that God has for us. It's not just about what wisdom is. Wisdom, there's some benefits to wisdom, right? Anybody have a job with some, like, good benefits? Yeah. Wisdom leads to also those good benefits. So here in the next blank sheet you have on your outline, wisdom leads to life and security. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me," this is wisdom, "whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Wisdom isn't just for the sake of being wise, right? It's not just being the wise guy, which is not a really good thing these days, right? How many times did God tell the Israelites that if they followed his instructions, right? He gave them very specific instructions in the Old Testament, right? And he said, if you follow these, what'll happen? You will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You'll be blessed and you will live long, right? Well, here's the thing. Nothing has changed for us in that. Nothing has changed. We think, oh, no, we live in a new covenant, right? We're with Jesus. But the benefits are the same. We follow light, we follow wisdom, we follow truth, and we get the benefits of life and security, right? When Jesus came, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. It said, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus." All right, listen, Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's, God was like, hey, y'all aren't listening, so let me send it, like, the full package. And that is Jesus. I remember, anybody here for Ashley's Christmas series this past December? We were in John chapter 1, verse 14, saying that the word was made flesh, right? That Greek word, logos, meaning the personification of wisdom and understanding. So where do we as Christians go to find wisdom? To Jesus. Solomon was talking about this wisdom is personified as a person, because I think Solomon even knew that wisdom wasn't just a thing to know, but it was a person. And it was only a few hundreds of years later when Jesus came that was fully known and embodied. So wisdom is a thing to hold on to, as a wisdom is the whole thing, is the thing to attain, right? It's the thing that we go to. But that's not the only thing that's in work today, right? It's not in play. There's a conflicting and opposing force always. Everybody likes to say that there is life is a bunch of, like, gray. But I'm going to tell you this. In the background, it's all black and white. It's all black and white in the background. You might think it's gray up front, and we got our own little battles, and we got our own secondary beliefs that we can squabble with here in this church. But what is right, and what is wrong. Amen? All right. So today there is I wouldn't say equal, but definitely opposing force to that. And in Proverbs, Solomon calls that folly. And you're probably thinking, what is folly? My wife asked the same thing, okay, when I was explaining to her what this whole thing was about. She said, what is folly? And I said, it's an Alabama joke. It's a city in Alabama. Ashley got it. All right, that's the only one. but folly, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which I trust because it's also somebody named Noah Webster. So it just seems like a guy that would know a few things about it. It says that folly is a lack of good sense or normal prudence or foresight, a foolish act or idea, an excessively costly or unprofitable undertaking. So we don't use this word in regular language every day. It's not a thing like I'm just using, like, you know, talking to like my friends or like having conversations with my wife. She would just get lost within the first 3 seconds because one, English is already hard, and two, we don't even use English right. So we keep that in mind. But let me give you a kind of a more like solidified, it'll make more sense for you. The biblical sense of the word folly is to hold the pursuit of truth in contempt by choosing to make your own path. So let's just hold on to that today. You don't have to have the dictionary definition. You can look that up later on Google, I hope. But the writer of Proverbs also personifies this as well. So we're going to jump to Proverbs chapter 9, because that's where we see a lot of it. Starting in verse 13, it says, "The woman folly," I love this, "the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. She says, 'Whoever is simple, let him turn in here.' And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he," the one passing by, "does not know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of Sheol." That just got real serious. But this is a counter to many things that we just talked about with wisdom. And there's super dangerous to us, whether we know it or not. What are the dangers? Let's look at that for a second. Empty promises and fleeting pleasures. Big dangers there. Let's focus on verse 13. "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town." If you remember back to what we just talked about a little while ago with wisdom, folly's sitting in all the same places wisdom is. So that tells us that wisdom and all of the ideas that we think are better than wisdom are all mingled together, and they all kind of sound good. Mike could say, sounds a little better, right? I could save my money or I could spend my money. I could just be okay with the way the Lord made me, or I could buy things that'll make me look better or feel better or do better, right? It's all the things. Nothing's new. It's the same thing there. Marketing and advertising in today's culture is at an all-time high in the sense of reach and engagement. It's not just the messages that they're putting out, but it's the ease of access, right? In the same way that I can pull the Bible app on my phone, I can pull up Instagram and see that maybe I'm not living my life to the fullest extent that I could, right? I'm not going traveling enough, or I'm not buying enough things because I hate those Amazon ads that they put in there. I find things that are like, this is the good life, right? That's all this is like, this is the world's view of the good life. This is how you live your life. But wisdom's like, this is the good life. This is how you live your life. They both sound okay, sound pretty good. Which one are you listening to? Because if you listen to the wrong one, it leads to death and destruction. It's your next blanks there. It leads to death and destruction. And you're like, Noah, this is not getting any better. It's going to get worse before it gets better, guys. We're going to look at 17 and 18 of chapter 9. Folly says, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." Attractive ideas and lifestyles can momentarily satisfy our human desires. We all have the same human desires, for better or for worse, right? All the same physical ones, all the same mental ones. Straying from the truth leads us astray from God's path. And the biggest lies we believe today are the ones that lead us to sin, death, and self-destruction of our lives, and the people we put ourselves around even. Folly stems from three sources. This is not in your notes, but it's a good bonus. Folly stems from three sources: the devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil brings all of the good stuff to us, right? And says, this is good and true, right? But here's the thing. Jesus calls the devil the father of lies, right? Satan is the father of lies. So we shouldn't even believe the single word that comes out of his mouth in the first place if we know better. Yeah? The flesh, oh, the flesh, that's us. That's who we are. Because sin was brought into this world, we were born into sin. Sin is the thing that we struggle with inside of us, the things that lead us to pride, envy, our own anxious thoughts about the world that comes from pride, envy, right? Our own means of self-control. We want to control our own lives, so we're anxious about things that we can't control. Am I getting a little too real for people? I'm about to get real in a second. I'm going to give a really, really real example that I'm sure all of you have gone through. You got home from work, and you're absolutely exhausted. Anybody already there? You're absolutely exhausted, and you fall down on the couch, and you don't want to do anything else. You just want to exist for the rest of the day. So how do we exist for the rest of the day? Well, we probably need to eat something, right? But instead of getting up and going to the kitchen, because you just went to the store yesterday, so you have plenty of food in there, you pull out your phone, and you open DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, insert your app of choice there. I don't know what anybody else uses these days. And you go and order your food that usually probably wouldn't cost a lot because it's fast food, right? You're probably ordering fast food. But then you see they add in the delivery fee and the service charge, and they want you to tip the driver. So you're instead of paying like $15, you're paying like $35 for like a Big Mac and a large fry, right? So we're already making not a great financial choice at that point. But then while you're waiting on that food, because you hit deliver it to me, baby, let's go, you decided, oh, I'm going to get on social media because I'm not doing anything else right now. And you start scrolling on social media, and you are just trying to forget about the problems of the day. And so you see somebody else on social media that has put out their own issues into the world, because people like to do that, right? Everybody likes to put their own, like, complain about their own problems in the world, or like complain about things, and you're like, that's, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not right. And you get in their comments and you start fighting with them. You're like, I'm in the drama, because you want to get in somebody else's drama instead of coping with the own problems in your own life. Anybody else feel this? A little too real? And you're thinking, Noah, this doesn't hurt anybody. But here's the thing, you're sitting on the couch on your phone, and so is your spouse doing the exact same thing. And your children are in the floor playing, and then they look up at you saying, where are my parents? I'm preaching to myself, guys. I only use real life examples here. And you think that doesn't hurt anything, but you have just given your life to anything else but wisdom and truth. Because then there's other people that do that that might not have as strong of a relationship with Jesus as you, or might not even know Jesus. And they think, this is just life. This is how it is. The world's full of negative things. Or as my grandmother likes to say when she watches Fox News, the world is going to heck. She does not say heck. It's not a way to live. Because Jesus says there's a better way to live. And you're thinking, Noah, how do I get out of this? Because I'm in there. I'm waist deep. What do I do about that? Well, that brings us to Act 3. You're like, oh, thank God. Choosing wisdom in a post-truth world. So this is what you've been waiting on. What do I do about it? Right? I know what wisdom is. I know all of the choices that I'm making that aren't wise. Right? What do I do about it? So I'm going to give you 3 practical principles that will help you in the way of true wisdom. This is not exhaustive, but it's a pretty good start. So let's start there. First one, seek God through prayer and the word. Those two answers are second to Jesus in the Sunday school answers of the world, right? It's like, pray, read my Bible. That's probably the answer to whatever question somebody's asking you in Sunday school. At least that's what it was growing up for me. But here's the thing. We wouldn't have to keep saying that if you did it. And if you did it, it would change your life. It would change everything. I wouldn't even have to talk about this. Ashley'd be out of a job. I'd have to go sing at an open mic somewhere. God help me. But that's the thing. It's if we actually did these things, it would change our lives. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 5. says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody? Anybody lack wisdom? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying to me. So y'all can take that up with the Lord. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. So we should ask, right? If we want wisdom, we should ask. Ask who? God. Thank you. Thank you. We're getting there. We spent a lot of time talking about prayer past few weeks. Yes, Ashley? Ashley has been thinking about it nonstop for like months. So I'm trying to give him a little break here. But I think it would dishonor all the hard work and actual prayer that Pastor Ashley put into talking about prayer with us and actually helping us practice prayer if I didn't mention this, right? When we go to God with a genuine heart that desires to worship and know him, we can ask for things like wisdom in full faith that he can and will give it to us. If you want wisdom in your life situation, go ask for it. And don't ask for it like half-heartedly, like, Lord, if you just give me some wisdom. No, you got to believe that God's wisdom is it. Like his truth and his way of living is the only way. Full faith. You have to go with him knowing that your way is not going. You have to ask him knowing that he is the only answer. Pastor Ashley also emphasized using scriptures as a prayer guide. It's been very helpful for me as well. But it's also a source of wisdom. When seeking wisdom through prayer, don't expect an audible voice to talk to you. Now, if you do, email me, noah@22church.com. I'd love to talk to you about that. That'd be fun. But if you do, please. But don't expect that. Often God speaks through his written word. He already said it. And the great thing is they wrote it down and they made it in a really good readable font for some people. So... So that's what we should go to. We should, if we want to hear from God, we should look for it there. God often speaks there. It serves as the filter for viewing the world and discerning our truth. God said, this is enough. He said, I don't have to say another word. My word is enough. My word is sufficient for anything else. And here's the thing, as you read and you struggle through some of the things that maybe the lies that you believe in your life or the things that you consider true, they're going to get tangled up in the words on these pages. And just like a filter, those things are going to get trapped in there. And you're going to have to wrestle with that. You're going to have to detangle that, right? I've been talking a lot about spiritual formation with a lot of people lately. I lead a discipleship group. And most people don't know really what spiritual formation is. It's being formed into the image of Jesus. But they think when you come to Christ that you, right, you repent and you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord and you are saved and your sins are wiped clean and you think I'm a blank slate, God, form me. Well, here's the thing. Depending on how long you've been on this earth before you prayed that prayer, you've been formed by a whole lot of other things. We just talked about them at the top. All of those things, the media that you consume, the people that you surround yourself with, the leaders that you choose to listen to, your neighbor that talks too much, that has their window open, and you hear everything, the social media blitz that we're in, like all of these things form you for better or for worse, whether you know it or not. So spiritual formation is deforming all the things that you've been formed into up to now. Wrestling with that, filtering it through his wisdom, through his word, and saying, God, like, what is this to be like you? And slowly, because here's the thing, spiritual formation isn't a 12-step program. It's slow, and it hurts, because you're pulling away things that you've made your identity in your life. The things that, like, you've held to is, like, most dear to you. You're pulling those away. And you become bare. They strip you bare. And then God comes in and says, you are loved. This is the truth of your life. This is who you are in my eyes. And your identity becomes more and more like Christ. And here's the thing. It doesn't come to until one of two things happens. You either go to be with the Lord or the Lord comes back. That's just the truth of it. It's a long one for some of us. And some of us is like, Lord, please come quickly. So let wrestle with that. Let the wrestling of that happen. let it happen. Let go of the emotions, how you feel about it, and let the word grow and live in you. Second, discern with a critical mind. This one's a little quicker one. I just talked about how we should go to God with all of our things. But here's the thing. God gave us a mind. He gave you a brain. It's actually one of the bigger ones here on earth. It's actually the one that works the most besides dolphins and chimpanzees. All right? Which they're both pretty smart. I've been to SeaWorld and I've been to the zoo. And let me tell you, they are pretty smart. So we should be a little smarter than them because that's how God designed things. We should use our brains. Right? Critical thinking is a skill that we're losing here, and you can say amen to that, but that goes for everybody. It's a skill that's being less, we're desensitized to it because of the things that we're bringing in, we're accepting as truth. You know, we just see like a post or a news headline and we think, oh, this is right because it's in front of me. But here's the thing. Every bit of information you have put in front of you, you need to discern that. And then go back to number one we just talked about, right? Go to God, discern with the word, right? When we obviously use our minds. You can get a lot of crud filtered out of the way if you would just like think or do another search besides just looking at that big clicky headline that they put on there, right? Discern all of that with a critical mind and be opening to listen because that's part of it. Because people, yes, they have worldviews that might oppose yours, but it starts with listening. We should listen regardless, but we should slow down our thinking and the way that we process things. Discern with a critical mind. I love, Paul actually talks about this, Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. It says, it is my prayer, Paul's talking to them, that your love may abound more and more. So he says love first, right? Love more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Why? So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. We are to live our lives constantly discerning what is before us. John calls it in 1 John, testing the spirits. Because sometimes we're like, I feel like God's saying this to me. I hear that so much as a pastor. I feel. You see the pattern? I feel. Where did that come from? I feel. Well, for most of the time when I hear I feel, it just came from how you feel. You're mad, or you're angry, or you're anxious, or you're tired, or all of those things, and that has led you to this conclusion that you feel that God has told you a certain thing, and it just so happens to back up your own biases, right? We need to discern with a critical mind. Paul says, you are not made to be dumb, so don't act dumb. That's the Noah paraphrase version. All right, last thing. We're finally getting there. Surround yourself with wise counsel. So wisdom, you know, like we talked about when we ask for wisdom, usually people that have lived long enough following Jesus, they have asked for wisdom in their life and they've been bestowed wisdom. Amen. I'm grateful for the people that have gone before me that have been bestowed great wisdom. And those are the people that I love to listen to. So I'm talking to my people over here. I love you guys, and I love talking to you guys and listening to you guys and hearing your experiences and seeing how God has worked in your life. And that blesses me as a minister, but also blesses me as a person that's just trying to live life and get to that age. Amen. But the thing is, who we surround ourselves with is important. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I have a handful of people in my life that I allow to speak into my life. I have enough love, trust, and relational equity. That means that I've watched them live out what they say, and they mean it when they say it. It's not just a thing they say. And they actually care about me, and they love me, and they have their best interests in mind. And that's not everybody. And that's not even everybody in this room. Sorry, guys. But you should be really picky about who you let speak into your life, because those are part of the voices that you allow to speak to you. And when we hear wise counsel, we should go back to number two, right? We should discern what they're saying with a critical mind, right? But even then, we should go back to number one, right? Should discern through the filter of prayer, going to God, who is wisdom in the scriptures, which is wisdom put down for us. Because the Lord knows I'm not here in a booming voice, Noah.
build the ark again.
Like, I'm really glad that hasn't happened. So, and no, I don't have it parked out back. Quit with the questions there. So, as we wrap up today, I want to ask the worship team to come back up. I want to ask you a couple questions. The first is, what is truth? That's the same question that Pilate asked Jesus as Jesus is brought before him when he's sent to die. But the thing is, Jesus didn't say anything because Jesus was like, I'm right here. Here I am. Truth staring you in the face. It's right in front of you. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Today, you can know Jesus as the embodiment of truth and wisdom in your life. My second question is, have you surrendered to the truth? Have you not just accepted in your mind, but in your heart, right? I cannot have a lot of head knowledge about Jesus, about who Jesus is, about the life of Jesus, all the things that he taught, about the way that he lived. But if I haven't put it here, if I didn't believe it in my heart, it does nothing for me. Have you surrendered to the truth today? I'm going to pray in a minute, and today you can respond to the call of wisdom, the same call that Jesus gives in one simple invitation. Come, follow me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now and praise you for being the source of all wisdom. In a world full of ideas, voices, and experiences, we surrender to the one who gives the words that never return void. If someone in this room today has not surrendered their life to the truth of Jesus, the Word of God, I pray that you speak to their hearts, God, that you show them who you are. Jesus, for those in the room who do know you, I pray that you remind us of the sufficiency of you, that you are enough, that there's not an amount of voices that can speak loud enough today that is going to be better than you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you move in power in this room, that you make yourself known to all who call on the name of Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.